December 31st, 2025. It's the NI versus AI podcast. I am your host, Charles Lenart. And these last 6 weeks have been very interesting and kind of intense, actually. I've been traveling a lot. I was in Denver for Thanksgiving, and then I went down to El Salvador for a few weeks, and then I came back here to Denver for Christmas and New Year's, and in a couple days I'll be going to Colombia, and I don't know, 10 days after that I'll be going to Peru, and then I think I'm going to go back to El Salvador for the, you know, just to finish the winter out and save some money. And since we're in a space to reflect here on the last day of this year, it's been a really wild one for me. It's like I've entered a new timeline, a new universe. I'm kind of hurtling between timelines now, it feels like, trying to find the one I want to land on. But the old one's gone, you know. I ended a 20-plus year relationship, moved out of a home where I had lived for quite a while, and and now I'm just bouncing around, kind of going where the wind wants to blow me, and I figure I'll end up where I'm guided, and that's kind of been how I handled the whole last year, you know. Had all these kind of like impossible things going on, and I just had faith that they would work out, and they did. So, yeah, 2025 is not a year I will forget anytime soon. But the subject of this podcast is parallel universes. I started thinking about this a few weeks ago. I stumbled upon this video, which I had seen before, by this YouTuber called XKCD Kid, I think, or is it XKCD Guy? Or XKCD Hat Guy? XKCD Hat Kid? I don't remember. Anyway, this kid was like, these are old videos, they're like 12 or more years old, and this kid was like a thing back when going viral actually meant something, you know. Now it's all fake. They all just buy their first million views. And but anyway, this kid, you know, like did this one video in particular, which was very interesting, where he talked about the fourth dimension, and he used a concept which, you know, he didn't attribute it properly. It was originally a book, and Carl Sagan talked about it in the TV show Cosmos, and other people have referenced it, but it's the concept of flatland, which is, you know, in a two-dimensional universe where there's no z-axis, you know, there's no height or depth, just forward, backward, right and left, there would be no concept of, you know, a z-axis, and people who lived in that universe would, you know, maybe be within a three-dimensional universe and not even know it because their perception was limited to flatland. And when you think about three-dimensional space, it's an infinite number of flatlands, but here's the paradox, right? You can't just stack flatlands up because by definition they have no height or depth. So how do you fit infinite flatlands into, let's call it cube land or sphere land or, you know, cylinder land or whatever, three-dimensional space? The only way to do it is to have them intersect, okay? So you'd have an infinite number of intersecting flatlands that would form a lattice that would form, you know, cube land or sphere land. I should really do this as a video because I could make visuals that would better demonstrate this. But anyway, so you can't just stack flatland on top of flatland. They have to intersect. And the points at which they intersect would appear to be lines. So, you know, let's say you had an infinite number of flatlands arranged, you know, along a single hub. So they all intersected at the same point. Then you'd have cylinder land, right? But I don't think it could actually work like that, because there'd be too much empty space. And therefore you couldn't get infinite, because every time you went, you know, the further you went from the hub, the further you would get from, you know, the neighboring flatlands. And, you know, probably some flatlands are pretty close together, and maybe they intersect at various points, you know, like a weave. So anyway, so these parallel universes, if you expand that out to the third dimension, you know, you go from cube land, sphere land, to tesseract land, then you get into a really interesting concept, which is maybe, as with flatland, the points or the areas in which parallel universes intersect, you know, would look like lines, and that's time. Okay, time's actually not a line; it's a more like a curve or a wave or something like that. But you perceive it as a line because you can only see the points that you've touched. So it looks like a bunch of points, you know, a line, and you can't see how it's curved because you only see this line of points. Which brings me to another kind of interesting paradox, right? So it all starts with a point, right? What is flatland? Flatland is an infinite number of lines, okay? And what are lines? Lines are just, you know, points stacked on top of each other going forward, okay? You perceive time as a line, a bunch of points. But points themselves, by definition, don't have any length, width, or depth. They're just nothing. They're like the zero point is nothing. But somehow you can string them together continuously. In other words, they all must touch. Just like when you intersect flatlands to create cube land, you know, you can't just stack them on each other. You can't just stack one point. It's not digital like that. It's analog, like they intersect with each other. And that's time. You know, every point is kind of here and gone, but it fades into the next point, and there you have time. Where three-dimensional universes intersect, that's time. So parallel universes are, I mean, basically like Schrodinger's cat. I don't like that analogy because it's difficult for most people to grasp, but what it's meant to show is that, you know, mathematically, anything that can happen does happen. So the cat is both alive and dead until consciousness intercedes. However, that's not a good analogy because it's really more about choices. So every choice you make at any point in time is directing your line in a certain direction, i.e. sending you to a parallel universe. And traveling has got me thinking about this. It's like right now, you know, at this very moment, there are people in El Salvador and people in China and people in Brazil and people all over the world, you know, having these completely different experiences. And, you know, timelines intersect, our universes intersect when we come together. So when you come together with another person, that's your timelines connecting for whatever amount of time, you know? But other than that, like, your timeline is yours alone. You know, you're the only person with whom you experience life, you know, in every moment. So it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but there are an infinite number of three-dimensional universes, and they intersect along lines that we call time. And there are some events that, you know, we can call omega events that occur in every timeline. This would be, you know, the movement of the cosmos, the sun, the stars, the planets, you know, those occur in every possible timeline. And there are other events that we can call psi events. They occur in many timelines, or similarly in many timelines. These would be like world events that, you know, but those would diverge too, like the further apart the timelines got. Like there are, you know, universes out there where the Nazis won World War II, you know, or stuff like that, you know, where history took a completely different turn. Those timelines actually exist. You know, there's a timeline where you made different choices and your life took a completely different direction, you know, different tack. And that brings me to the power of consciousness and how consciousness moves us through universes and across timelines. Every decision you make, as I said, is sending your timeline off in a different direction and to a different parallel universe. So, I mean, it's obvious, like major life decisions, you know, we can all look back and go, well, what, you know, what if I had married, you know, Susie instead of Kate, you know, like how might my life have been different? Or what if I had gone to, you know, Y college instead of X university? You know, major life decisions are pretty, it's pretty obvious to see how your life would have gone differently if you had made a different decision. But a lot of times after a certain age, you can boil it down to really specific moments where at the time it didn't even seem that significant. So to illustrate this, I'll tell you a little fictional story, but I'm sure it's, you know, it plays out all the time. So let's say you have two kids, right? And they live next door to each other. Jack quarterback and little Sally nerd. I can't think of good names here, but so they live right next door to each other, and you know, Jack quarterback is a, you know, popular kid. He's an athlete, okay student, whatever. And he lives right next door to Susie nerd, and Susie nerd is maybe a year younger, and you know, she's just hella smart. She's a great student. She really focuses on her academic pursuits. She dresses frumpily, maybe, but she's a really pretty girl. But, you know, she doesn't want that kind of attention, doesn't have the brain bandwidth to waste on, you know, doing her makeup and shit. So she's kind of a plain Jane. And she's had a crush on Jack quarterback since, like, seventh grade, right? And he just, you know, kind of ignores her and thinks she's a nerd. I mean, that cordial enough, but whatever. So, all right, they go through high school, and Jack quarterback hits his, you know, senior year, and he's the big shot. He's the star quarterback dating the head cheerleader, and Susie thinks, oh, man, he's going to go off to college next year. Jeez, you know, I better shoot my shot. So she one day, you know, they bump into each other, and she says, hey, Jack, you know, there's this Renaissance fair this weekend, and I was wondering if you might like to go. And, you know, he kind of laughs at her and is like, nah, sorry, Susie, I got a big date with, you know, with Becky Big Tits or whatever on Saturday. I can't go, but, you know, I hope you have fun. And, of course, Sally, whatever her name is, you know, she's kind of devastated by this, and she feels embarrassed, and, you know, she goes to the Renaissance Fair with her nerdy friend and has a good time. All right, so fast forward, say, I don't know, 10 years, and both Susie and Jack have, you know, gone through college, and say Jack went to State U or whatever, and kind of played his, you know, playboy lifestyle and, you know, had a lot of fun and whatever. And Susie went to, I don't know, MIT or something. And so 10 years later, you know, Susie has fallen in love. She's forgotten all about Jack. She's fallen in love with someone else in college. And, you know, they maybe created a company together, and the company was successful, and, you know, they had this patented technology that, you know, the company was bought out by Google for, you know, $2 billion. And one day Jack, meanwhile, you know, has maybe like a kid out of wedlock or something, and he's got child support payments, and, you know, he hasn't settled down, and, you know, he's sitting at the playground watching his kid play. He has, like, say, partial custody or whatever, and, you know, he's scrolling his phone, and he sees this story about Sally Nerd and her husband, and, you know, there's a picture of the two of them standing there looking happy, and, like, maybe she's, like, pregnant or something, and, you know, the story's about how they got $2 billion for their startup. And he's instantly transported back to that moment where it's like, wow, you know, what if I hadn't been such a jerk? You know, what if I had said, sure, let's go to the Renaissance Fair, sounds fun, and, you know, we had a wonderful time, and, you know, that could be me or whatever. So, and indeed it could be, you know, but he made the wrong choice in that specific moment. And that's like kind of a dramatic example, but sometimes these really small decisions can leave you wondering, like, what if I had gone the other way? What if I had turned left instead of right? You know? And because time is comprised of these points that have, you know, these zero points that have zero height, zero depth, you know, zero width, but they're just analogously, they're strung together in an analog fashion where it's a continuous flow and they all touch each other each moment in time, right? So, you know, the decision you make right now in this moment, you can't change any of the decisions you've made in your life. You are where you are, you know? And I've said this in previous episodes, if you don't like where you are, you know, stop griping about it. Sit down and see how your own decisions and your own actions have brought you to where you are right now. And then decide from this moment forward to take different decisions and different actions, rather, and make different decisions. And this is a lot easier said than done, because most of us live on autopilot, you know, and this is basically the subconscious mind, you know. You do a lot of things without thinking about them. And this includes little decisions you make without thinking about it. The episode I did a couple episodes ago about, like, shadow work is kind of like about this. Like, you react to certain situations in certain ways because you're literally trained that way. Your body, like, has a certain reaction to certain situations, and you try to avoid pain or gain pleasure by acting in ways that may not be to your best, you know, to your benefit. And so most people will never really actively change their timeline, you know, because they're stuck in these subconscious loops. You know, they just do the same thing over and over again because it's comfortable, and it's just what they do because they're on autopilot. They live life on autopilot, and autopilot has its place. You know, you don't want to, every time you go to the bathroom, you don't want to have to consciously think about it. Okay, now I'm opening the bathroom door. Okay, now I'm turning on the light. Okay, now I'm, you know, sitting on the toilet, whatever. You know, you don't have to act. Some things are best delegated to autopilot. A good example is keys. You know, I have this thing with my keys. It's like, I just always put my keys in the same place. You know, I come home, I put my keys in the key place. That might be a little hook that I hang them on, or it might be a little, you know, shelf, or it might be the edge of the counter or whatever. But I always put my keys in the same place. It's just autopilot. I don't even think about it. Come home, boom, keys go there. Then I don't have to waste time, you know, being like, oh my gosh, where did I put my keys? Like, if you don't delegate those things to autopilot, or if your autopilot is saying, oh, it doesn't matter where you put your keys, just whatever, leave them in your pocket, or then you're going to have those wasted times when you're looking for your keys, you know. Whereas if you say, okay, autopilot, always put my keys in the same place, then that's a good use of autopilot. But generally speaking, if you want to enter a new timeline, you know, a parallel universe where things are configured more favorably for you, then you have to break patterns. You know, you have to make different decisions. You have to, like, consciously decide to do, you know, X instead of Y. You could think of it as discipline, right? And I covered this in the episode. I think it's called, like, The Present is the Present or something, where it's like, always live as if you're a servant to your future self. You know, like, if I do this now, how will I feel about it tomorrow or a year from now or 5 years from now? Versus if I do this, yeah, just, that's the question, you know. So do the thing that you'll feel good about tomorrow and next year and 5 years from now. And that's how you, it doesn't happen overnight, you see. Like, nobody's going to save you. There's no Prince Charming coming to save you from your miserable Cinderella existence, you know. It's up to you. You gotta make different choices and take different actions and consciously move into the, you know, the parallel universe that you would prefer. And, you know, it's like some of the crap they tell you about visualization and, you know, affirmations and all that. Yes, it's good because that helps to reprogram your subconscious mind, which helps to get out of the loops you're in. But you still have to consciously decide, like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing in this very moment because this is the only this very moment that there will ever be on this timeline. And that's how it is. So, yeah, I know that was probably pretty rambling, and I think I will put this to video at some point and add some visuals, just to demonstrate the kind of the geometry of it and how intersecting universes appear to be lines to people who can't see the, you know, the higher level universe. You can't imagine the fourth dimension. So when you're, you know, faced with it, it looks like time. It looks like a line. Anyhow. Yeah. So I hope that was entertaining or helpful for someone. And I hope that your 2026 is the best year ever, and that you make the most of each moment in time. Freak the Matrix. Hello. Someone's waving at me, I don't know where. Anyway, so yeah, I'm Charles Lenart. This has been the NI versus AI podcast. Peace.